welcome to the Jeff and Jamie feed. So glad to have you here with us. We're going to do three small episodes that are going to be all pertaining to the Fork and Hammer launch and the series that has come out on PBS. So at this very moment, there are two episodes out. Episode one, it started with a crepe, and then episode two, which is 4 years in the making.
I think this is great because we film a lot of these things months ago, but we also have, there's a few things that might get edited out that are pertinent, and you also get to talk about your feelings. So we're knocking a whole bunch of things out by doing these episodes.
I know. I love it. Well, let's rewind to last week when the premiere actually happened.
Talk about feelings.
Talk about feelings. That was something else.
Yeah.
So this was a pretty incredible thing. We had the premiere of Fork and Hammer at the Carolina Theater, which is a historic space in downtown Charlotte. It has been restored just as of May of 2025. And it is an absolutely incredible venue. Jeff and I went there for the premiere of Fork and Hammer, and 750 people showed up.
I think it was 800. You always downplay it. It was like 804.
Well, I never like to expound upon things, whereas you tend to be like, it was 1,000 people. I'm like, Jeff, if you actually look at it, way short of that. But what would you say was...
Way short of the actual number that he told us 3 minutes before we went on of 800 people?
All right, Jeff.
Okay.
You're right. I'm wrong. But let's talk about your feelings.
That's recorded.
Yes. Let's talk about your feelings, though, that night. Like, this was...
I actually had feelings that night.
What did you feel? Because we walked out on stage for the first time.
That was incredible. I was trying to... When the music came on and we were supposed to walk out, I was trying to just pause for a second and take it all in. I was blown away at how many people were there, how much support we had, how much support there is in this town. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a very weird feeling for me too. Jeff and I were both struggling with a little bit of a throat condition, which we are still recovering from. So all I was thinking is, oh my gosh, I'm going to go out there and begin to speak and my voice is going to get taken away and I'm going to be coughing and like hacking
snarfing,
my head up and have to
all the things
go
on
off
mics.
Stage. We were both equipped with cough drops in
you
our pockets.
You palmed me one during the Q&A. That was huge.
I sure did. Because I know we were both going through the same thing. But I have to say, before we went out on stage, that feeling in my heart was very much like, okay, there's our introduction music. I know what I'm supposed to do. Now, body, take the step and the next step and get out there into the middle of the stage. I knew what I had to do, but there was that hesitation of how am I going to actually be able to get my body from this little corner where I'm hiding behind the curtain out into the middle of the stage.
The walking was the easy part. For me, the hard part was you didn't give me much. I just had to remember our restaurants, which should be able to do.
We tried to keep it simple.
Like our children's names. And I had to do the sponsors. And so I was going over those over and over. I was like, please don't mess these up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But you did it. You did a great job.
We got through. You did an awesome job. You were on point that night.
Well,
thank you. Even being under the weather. You were great.
Well, thank you. And now we have two episodes out as of this morning because they're launching every Monday on PBS.org. So if you all want to go check them out, you can stream them on PBS.org. You can also check them on your local listings. But
so watching the episode with 800 people.
Yeah.
What do you think was the biggest like laugh and most?
So at the premiere, we screened episode one and it was pretty incredible. The response that we were getting from the audience, I thought that was cool. There was a lot of laughter on the scene when I was telling about cutting your hair.
Yeah.
Everything was going well until one time I was in a groove and all of a sudden the guard fell off, and I zipped up the back of his head.
One time, as in a few days before we were opening Crepe Cellar.
That went over very well.
That went over well. A lot of people like that. What about you? What do you remember?
That was good. I think the pregnancy one goes over very well, of us having a child every time we open a restaurant. That was good.
For a while, we were having a child as we opened every single restaurant. It's a good thing we stopped that. That was exhausting.
More for me than for you.
It also went over well, the clapperboard stuff, which I knew would at the end, the outtakes. And these were just merely the outtakes, but that was super fun and
that's
cute.
That's just what I do. I'm just really helpful around set.
Thanks, mate. We got speed?
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Bang.
You are so pleased with yourself.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Wait. He took my job.
Let's go, speed. We got speed.
Are you happy now?
Yeah, I love that.
Watching that on the big screen, I think there was one moment that there was a picture right when they're talking about we're talking about Crepe Cellar opening, and I was pregnant. And there's a one single picture. It's a still shot where I can see my belly. I was probably 7-8 months pregnant, and we're in Crepe Cellar. And I think what you don't see in that picture is what's actually happening in my head at that time, which was fear, uncertainty. Opening a restaurant and also having a baby for the first time. I mean, those were very large things. So I know what I was feeling, but I don't know if other people know that moment and what that was really like. But pretty incredible to see that first one come out. And another thing I think that a lot of people would look over is that moment when Chris brings the dish over to the table and says, "Lobster fundido, try 45.
Yes, that is good. And I actually texted him about that this week. I was reading up on a cheesemonger and storing cheese. And in the deep depths of reading up on cheese research, the cheesemonger said, "And you can always freeze cheese, and it helps when you're making things like a fundido."
Oh.
And I was like, "Chris, did we try? And so I started doing all this research. I was like, "Did we try taking the cheese, freezing it, and then defrosting it, and then making it?" And he's like, "Isn't the fundido dead?"
He's wondering why you're bringing it back to life.
But I brought it back up. So we're going to try it. We're going to try it one more time for fun.
Well, I love it. Well, as of today, episode 2 is also now out. We've talked a little bit about episode 1, but it's called 4 Years in the Making.
Yeah.
And it's,
we take a long time doing things.
We take a long time. This episode, similar to the first one, is kind of a look back in time. As the Fork and Hammer season goes, you'll see we begin to move into the future. But the first episode is back when we opened our first restaurant. And then the second episode takes you back to when we opened up Supperland. And that was an incredible journey. And you'll get to see that on the program that launches this week, too.
And talking about Chris and Cortland just take the whole episode away. Their banter back and forth is great. It's kind of juxtaposed around them playing disc golf and just going at each other. It's awesome.
Did I tell you my idea for the chef thing?
No.
A chef emergency hotline. So, like, you're making dinner for a girl and you screw it up. You could FaceTime me and I'll coach you through how to fix it.
All right.
And you treat it like a phone sex hotline. Be like, you know, $20 for the first call and like $5 a minute after that. There you go.
Well, those two have great rapport. They've been working together for years, and it really shows the bond between an executive chef and a sous chef. So I think that's a lot of fun to see. And I also love the reflection back on the build out of Supperland, because you and I both know it took us 4 years to make Supperland, but I documented a lot of it over stories on Instagram. So threaded throughout the episode of this next episode is basically these, you know, portrait mode videos of where we're cooking on our back deck and making food for the first time for Supperland and just beginning those processes. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's really interesting to see those very early steps and how broken they are and how undefined they are and how just kind of chaotic and disorganized they are, but there's still steps.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And one of the most special things for me is the picture of what's behind the walls in the cocktail bar at Supperland, where we would go and, you know, mommy and daddy are going to work during the pandemic and working on trying to get Supperland open. And we just let the kids paint the walls behind the drywall, before the drywall got put up, and they just went in there and just went to town for a whole weekend painting everything.
I was with them painting because I didn't have anything to do either. So we were all painting.
I think that is just one of the most beautiful things to me, is just knowing that behind all that wallpaper are all the yours and the kids' drawings back there. And I just think it's so special and cute.
I love that too. Well, you all stay tuned on PBS.org, where you can be able to stream episode 1 and 2 at this point. And
thank you all for coming to the premiere, because you guys made it really special.
It really
was. That's
what
made it so special.
It was special. And check your local listings if you'd like to check in on the Fork and Hammer series as well. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.